Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk.
Radio Live. You are inside Money Monday with the crew. It's February 3rd, 2014. What it do? Jump on it, 917-889-3926. It's your hip-hop informer coming to you live out of Tampa, Florida tonight. It's 904 here on the East Coast, 604 on the West Coast, all the way live from Plant City. We call it a Coco Give it up for Hot Chocolate. Welcome to the show.
Yes, yes. What up? Happy Money Monday to everyone. And please, please let me be the first to congratulate the Seattle Seahawks on that slaughter last night in Super Bowl 48. Congratulations to the VA boys. Cam Chancellor, Percy Harvin, Russell Wilson, all Virginia representatives. Great job, fellas. Great job. Bam, bam. The Park Place reunion is going to be bananas this year.
No doubt. All the way live from somewhere up north. Give it up for St. James. What up, dude?
What up? What up, man? Y'all trying to make me feel left out with all this VA talk, pride talk, man. Yeah, guys.
Hey, you know.
That's what's up.
You're doing the dialogue.
Just come to the reunion when it's popping. Just show up. You'll be fine.
I got you. It's all good now. They bust that asshole last night, though.
Did they?
Straight up and down. Ain't nowhere else to put it.
Did they?
Bust that ass.
Hey, what about that halftime performance? What are you thinking?
You know, I wasn't really impressed. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and of Bruno Mars, but I just it was pretty basic to me.
Hey, yo, Scrams, I was washing dishes, B. I'm trying to tell you now, I was washing dishes. I wasn't thinking about the game after halftime. Once I saw the end of the first half, I said, oh, this game is over. We go finish cleaning his kitchen up. I was busting some suds, B. Straight up.
What did you think of it, TM?
You said it. I mean, there was nothing spectacular about it. And then I actually like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's probably one of my favorite, rock groups. I mean, I like Red Hot Chili Peppers. I like Garth Brooks. I mean, don't shoot me. But Bruno Mars also, I like him. But it was just average.
It really was. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't
it was
see it.
All
so,
those
I mean,
thought it was so spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, that's what everybody's talking about. I mean, that's mad buzz. Was going around Bruno's performance, and I'm hearing about he had an afro, but some was up with his hair. I don't know what was up with his hair, but I hear people
his hair's
about
always
that.
Big.
You know, I mean, I heard people talking about it, so I don't know what was really the.
He had some good James Brownish step dance.
Oh, did he?
he rocked. He had a Sammy Davis suit on, and it's
the Ace Ventura one side up joint.
He did.
Pretty much. Hey, tonight,
I gotta
go check the Negro Baseball League celebrating its anniversary tonight. It's Black History Month, just in case you didn't know. But we represent Black History 365 here. But tonight, we were recognizing the Negro Baseball League is celebrating 80. This is the 86th year. Of Negro baseball, of Negroes being a part of baseball. That does sound crazy, Negro. Black folks being a part of baseball. Hey, we want to hear from you tonight as we just talk about not just baseball, but Black history in particular. Tonight we're celebrating the anniversary, the 86th anniversary of the Negro Baseball League, the descendant of the Southern League of Colored Baseballists. Before they were the Negro Baseball League, they were known as the Southern League of Colored Baseballers. Go figure. Founded back in February 1920. February 3rd, specifically today, 1920. The elevation of Jackie Robinson to the Brooklyn Dodgers was significant back in 1974, not only opening the doors for other African-American players, but also it signaled the end of the Negro Leagues. And black folk were just a part of baseball specifically. And it was no longer a Negro League and then the league. It was just the league as of 1974. We've come a long way in a short period of time, but still not far enough, as Bing Dog stated a couple of weeks ago. We are the crew. It's Money Monday. We'll be right back. It is 9:09.
You are listening to the best at it, providing you with quality entertainment, inspiration, and information. We are TM Hyman.
Give me Stunt Radio Show. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. Stunt Radio Show. Real talk.
Last night, couldn't even get an answer. I tried to call.
CM Hyman Radio Live. You are inside Money Monday, hanging out with the crew. Diddy featuring Keisha Cole last night. Jump on it, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926 is Money Monday, February 3rd, 2014. We're celebrating Negro baseball. It's 86th year of African-Americans, black people, Negroes being integrated into the game. She's crept in the studio. Give it up all the way live from Charlotte, Madam CeeLo Boston. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon in the morning time. How y'all doing?
What it do? We doing good.
Kizzy B.
James just confessed to us backstage that he's scared of the dark.
In the country. I'm scared of the darkness that the countryside produces.
Exactly, right.
That's a whole nother level of dark, son. And I'm mad you were listenable to the comments on it, though. That's what I'm really tight at about you, B. You let me have this whole
spill
in the guts words. Trams, I'm trying to tell you, it was some dark, silent, never in my life. I'm from a city atmosphere all my life. I used to have to go to sleep to the sound of car, you know, the car alarm that just went.
Yeah.
Remember that old school joint?
Yeah.
I used to have to fall asleep to that. Really.
Oh, my God, it is so hilarious.
Yeah, so I took a straight 87, 86, that when the first, my Fisher-Price, my first car alarms came out.
He said my Fisher-Price first.
Yeah, it did. That
so,
did
you
record.
Know exactly the car alarm I'm talking about, though.
Just ain't making it sound no better, though, yo.
But that's exactly how the joy sounded. So anyway, I just have to go see to that nightly, daily. And then to go from that
to the
nothing,
darkness.
To absolutely everything of sound cuts off at midnight.
Okay.
Sasquatch running in the dark.
You won't even see him coming. I'm trying to tell you, it is that black out there.
No doubt.
So I don't care what anybody says. I'm sorry.
Country dark.
And I love
he's
it.
Scared of the country dark to be
quiet.
Right. That country nighttime ain't nothing to mess with if you used to the city life. And then that's just
exactly.
Being real. There's
hey,
nothing
big up
to play
to,
with.
Big up to Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. They did the damn thing last night.
Second-year quarterback for his team.
I don't know. That was a game that I swear somebody got paid good for that to go that way. I don't believe it.
And they better not see them go to the bank. They better not catch them going to the bank. They better wear a mask.
This is my mother's theory. My mother's theory is that the flyover of the fighter jets after the national anthem was sung shook Peyton up because he thought it was a possible terrorist attack.
so
nervous.
I'm not
he couldn't get it back together. Listen,
I'm not buying
that she sucked by that. I'm saying
I
she
didn't
sucked
even
by
think
it.
Of that one.
That's what she came up with.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like
that. High five.
But I'm hearing some people saying it was some foul play with that, how they saying that they just, like, threw the game or whatever for the odds and
everything. That's what I was thinking, because I was like, yo, for real, because, first of all, the Broncos, they did really well to come this far to, that ain't even make sense. Like, it was like,
but this is
they
Peyton,
were told, don't,
Peyton got a history
don't
that.
Play.
Peyton got a history of folding in big games. He got a history of folding in big games. Games he's supposed to win or competing. He got a history. Check the record.
You know, he might just choke. He might have performance anxiety.
I don't know. He got something. Because it ain't like this during the regular season. It's just something about when it's something about when it hit January, he loses.
Well, a lot of people don't know a whole lot about Russell Wilson. And we're going to drill down on Russell Wilson throughout the show. Because clearly, if we didn't know him, we know him now. About Russell. Hey, but we talked a lot about Beeb. Last week, and so the latest with Bieber, Bieber just settled a lawsuit. a lawsuit that actually was brought on by his bodyguard, or now an ex-bodyguard. $420,000 is what he just paid to resolve a lawsuit filed due to his man. That's an expensive mistake of an employee.
That's a drop in the bucket, though, for Bieber, though. That's a drop in the bucket.
But that's,
I save.
Even if I had the money, bro, I wouldn't want to pay
yeah,
for your.
Yeah, I still
yours.
Wouldn't want to drop it. I get you.
I wouldn't want to pay for your $420,000 mistake, save, even if I had it.
Nah, I get you on that. I can't argue that stance. But I'm just saying from a financial standpoint, I mean, you know, for that dude, it's dropping the bucket. He has to do nothing at the baby.
Too.
You know what I'm saying? He has to do that at the baby drop. He could have did that one single and been chilling.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Midst
but, you
of
know.
All that is dealing with right now, that was one less thing. That was an easy way to resolve one
I
of his
dig
issues
it.
Because he's not going to be able to pay his way out of some of this other stuff. You best believe that.
Yeah, no.
No, I could dig that. No, I dig that. I understand what you're saying. But he's going to do what he can to stay out that big house. I'll tell you that much.
The house egging might be an easy fix also. He might be able to stroke a check for the house egging too, but this drag racing and the driving under the influence and those most recent charges, I think those are going to be a little bit harder for him to shake.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt. Hey, we're going to pause for the calls, come back. Tonight's topic, again, we're celebrating the 86th year of the Negro Baseball League that was founded back on March 3rd today. 86 years ago, that would be 1920, the Brooklyn Dodgers actually took on Jackie Robinson in 1947. We will talk about that more. It's Black History Month. Hey, hit us up. Give us your thoughts on what's popping in your world as it relates to just black history or just history in general. 917-889-3926. Just call us to talk about Negro baseball. I don't think we know enough. Hey, who do you all know in Negro baseball outside of Jackie Robinson? And I hope I said
Satchel
Jackie
Paige.
Robinson early, not Jackie Wilson. I hope I said Jackie Robinson.
No, you said Jackie.
I believe you.
Okay. Y'all know how I will chop somebody's name into two pieces.
What? In nine? Yeah. How about that? And then forget to apologize. But, no, hey, was it, hold on, I want to clarify this. Was Babe Ruth white or black? I never knew.
White. Babe Ruth white.
White, yeah.
Babe?
Yeah.
Well, okay, the reason why I asked that, now, I know y'all might be laughing at me, and you people in radio land might be laughing at me, too.
Well,
yeah,
you
I have seen
it.
The pictures of the man. However, yeah, right, I don't care. So, he didn't look all white to me. He never did. I mean, I know they said he was. I don't believe it. I'm not saying he was black either. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that, he was like Indian and white or something. It's just his facial structure and all that. Like, he just didn't look like a regular white man to me.
Okay, we'll take that.
Thank you.
I mean, he might have been a Jefferson
else?
Product.
Did anybody else wonder the color of Babe Ruth?
No. I mean, but you know, anything is possible. He might have been a Jefferson.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jefferson throwback, right?
Yeah.
Pretty
he
much.
Might have
that's
been.
What I'm saying. Like he looked like a grandkid of
Good old Sally.
Never. Yeah, and I remember seeing him as a young child, and I was like, I thought that he was black. And I don't know, maybe it came from me being, you know, that fair skin. But, you know, I don't know why this white woman is there all Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, I don't know.
Hold up.
Frank.
Headshot.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Sit down.
Frank.
Stand up.
Frank.
Pass out.
Frank.
Wake up.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank.
Faded.
Nah, I done grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flask, backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels, some people wanna kill their sorrow. Some people wanna fit in with the popular, that was my problem. I was in a dark room, loud tunes, looking to make a vow soon that I'ma get fucked up, filling up my cup. I see the crowd mood changing by the minute, and the record on repeat. Took a sip, then another sip, then somebody said to me, why you babysitting? Only 2 or 3 shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles and I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I got a swimming pool full of liquor and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it.
Hold
Frank.
Headshot.
Frank.
Sit down.
Frank.
Stand up.
Frank.
Pass out.
Frank.
Wake up.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank. Okay. Now open your mind up and listen to me, Kendrick. I'm in your conscience. If you do not hear me, then you will be history, Kendrick. I know that you're nauseous right now, and I'm hoping to lead you to victory, Kendrick. If I take another one down, I'ma drown in some poison, abusing my limit. I think that I'm feeling the vibe. I see the love in her eyes. I see the feeling of freedom is granted as soon as the damage of vodka arrived. This how you capitalize. This is parental advice. And apparently, I'm over-influenced by what you are doing. I thought I was doing the most, and someone said to me,
why you babysitting? Only 2 or 3 shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles and I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I got a swimming pool full of liquor and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it. Hold
Frank.
Headshot.
Frank.
Sit down.
Frank.
Stand up.
Frank.
Pass out.
Frank.
Wake up.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank.
P.M. on the East Coast, and so that makes it 6:34 p.m. on the West Coast, and y'all in the middle, figure it out. It's Money Monday, and we're talking about Jackie Robinson and the baseball?
Negro baseball.
Yes, Negro leagues.
Well, excuse me, sir. I am running the Underground Railroad right now, okay? I cannot give my attention to everything at the same time, okay? Some rude, unruly people back here.
And once again, for those of you who are fans of Atlanta Housewives, there was no conductor on the Underground Railroad. No engine, no steam cars.
Okay.
It was a reference, people.
That fool said, who was the conductor?
Who was driving the train?
And they wonder why.
There you go.
They wonder why the things that are said.
Oh, my
God.
Mm-mm. But you know what? Oh, hold on. Isn't the reunion supposed to be tonight or tomorrow? Or was it next Sunday?
No. I don't. No, no, no. I don't think so. What was tonight was part one of El Ratchito Love and Hip Hop reunion. But we'll talk about that hopefully on Friday on the Friday Night Cypher. But, yeah.
That's terrible. I missed that. That's my ratchet. Oh, that is my guilty pleasure.
It is mine, too.
Can y'all bring the rest of us up to speed as to what the hell y'all are talking about?
They're talking about that reality TV garbage. The Love and Hip Hop and the Real Housewives.
Yes, yes,
That one-eyed monster got them hooked.
Hey, men watch it too, you know. And
yes, they do.
I'm not arguing that point. I know some men do. I'm not gonna argue that. I mean, I don't get involved in reality TV. You know, that's just my personal thing. I ain't got nothing against the show. It's probably good entertainment, but whatever.
I don't know about the good entertainment part. It is entertainment. I don't know what we're going to qualify as good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean as far as the entertainment piece go. I know that's the statement.
Right. It is entertainment, people. We'll say that. Yeah. Quality, that's questionable, but it is entertainment.
Yeah, that's a matter of perspective.
Right.
The quality of it, yeah. But, so what's going on in Atlanta Housewives? Is Mimi got remarried to her husband, and all the other ladies are pretty much just trying to find their way, and there's supposed to be a reunion show coming up.
We didn't really want to hear about the housewives.
Well, I'm gonna get a full recap. I can't even remember that. I can't remember that much. I was just going to tell you that you're supposed to be hosting it. I just didn't get lost about
what you were conversing about, but we can do without the recap.
Oh, okay.
She's ready to go. You heard her?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait, first of all, that was not. I just wanted to get out that Monique was hosting. No, Monique is hosting. That's what I was excited about. Monique is going to be at
TV. She's hosting the Love and Hip Hop reunion.
There you go, something.
Too much yelling.
Yeah, a reunion.
Too much yelling. Too much yelling. Oh. All together, too much yelling.
Can't yelling and fighting already.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
But they can't fight, though. They're not even fighting, really. Is that really considered fighting?
She's still going, you hear?
That's why I never like fighting girls. It's swimming pool swing. Just knock a bitch out. Oh.
Hey, who mentioned just to abruptly flip the script here? Who mentioned Bow Wow getting fired from 106 in Park?
He responded to rumors that he was
yeah, that was a rumor.
Fired, but
I heard he got
fired.
No one here talked about Bow Wow getting fired.
No.
I might. I don't know. I don't know if I did, but I'm just. I remember. I knew about that though.
Yeah, there was a rumor floating around that he.
Week,
yeah, that he used his 106 and Park
credit card
to pay his
stuff,
child
yeah.
support.
I thought that was reported here, but maybe I got something else.
I didn't report it because it didn't even sound right.
I'm like, if he was fired, he was rehired because he's still there.
Exactly. Because, you know, he gets, because they were talking about, he gets like $6 million or something like that for, $2 million for 6 months, So, I mean, yeah, I'm quite sure he should be able to pay himself for it.
Yeah, I just saw that just came across as a news book. And so I did remember that, and I'm not sure where I heard it from. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have just joined us, it is Money Monday. We got your finance segment coming to you live tonight from Delaware, and it's all jacked up on the post. It's not Didi tonight. It's Toya, and it is finance, but it's not from VA. It's from Delaware. Tonight we are also talking about the Negro Baseball League. This is the 86th anniversary as we have entered Black History Month, which, again, Black History should be every day, not just a specific month. But 86 years ago, some gentlemen, you know, paved the way for those like Babe Ruth and others Now, I remember a name, you know, Cool Papa. He was like one of, I think I heard about him in a documentary, but he was somebody that was pretty good back in the day. You know, also somebody that was, they called Satchel. I think his first name was Leroy. Leroy Satchel Page, exactly. So, I mean, names that when you mention them ring a bell, but ultimately people really don't know a whole lot about people who helped to pave the way. But the Negro Baseball League, again, the descendant of what was called first the Southern League of Colored Baseball List. So Baseballist, B-A-L-L-I-S-T-S, was what they were referred as, not ball players, but baseballist. The whole league was founded today, back in 1920. I actually had a chance to see 42, and I just asked the crew here who saw 42, which was really a story about Jackie Robinson. A powerful, powerful story. And understand the time frame takes you back into an era where, you know, just, man, discrimination was serious in this country. Prejudice was serious, and what these African American dudes had to endure, how they were treated, but they still had a love for the game that was so like powerful that they still pressed beyond the oppression and made it happen for people that's making millions of dollars in the game today. And so, man, I mean, I can never talk about this particular era without really just focusing on the racism and compare the will of people back then compared to the will of people today. And it's like, what happened? Where did it go?
It stopped in between.
I wouldn't have been able to make it back then. Yeah, definitely.
Like, it really did drop off. I mean,
Repeat that.
I don't know. Oh, I said I was like, it just, I said in between generations, it kind of dropped off though, because, you know, I mean, even in, like, when we were in middle school and beginning high school, you know, there was the, you know, the Malcolm X movement, and, you know, we had, musically, you know, they were speaking more politically. So, I mean, and then it's just like, after that, it's like nobody talked about it anymore. Just kind of fashion took over somewhere. Like, I mean, like, it just seemed like the whole shift, a shift happened. Like, you know, and it was almost like, oh, okay, we've gotten far enough, and maybe this will be okay, you know? I don't know. It just seemed like a generational drop, though.
Right. I mean, when you think about, you know, the era of 1920, right? 1920 was really the first year that the Negro National League survived its first season. And you had, I mean, Negro notables. You had major players that were part of the Negro Leagues, and they were renowned teams. But think about work ethic then versus work ethic today. And yes, I agree, things have dropped off over the generations, but clearly because we no longer have to press our way, because they're not keeping us out of places. Really, we're being handed things on a silver platter. If you look at, you know, if you do a contrast between then and now, you know, I mean, we have access to everything.
You mean as far as like how people respond to what they have access to?
Just having access to it now.
We have access. We're not dealing with blatant prejudices. And people, you know, we're not dealing with the blacks only signs anymore. And so the fact that we don't have to press as hard, I think it has caused us to not really appreciate things. And so taking the racial piece out, I'm talking about, again, the will, the things that they had to endure then and how still worked versus access today, and we don't work hard at all. It just seems a little upside down, a little sideways.
And you know
what?
And you know what else? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Does it make sense what I'm saying? Am I making sense or am I babbling?
Yes. No, you're making sense. I was just going to say, you know what, because while you were talking, it just made it clear for me. What the point I was trying to make was just the simple fact that it went from being a community issue, it went from being community issue to individual issue, is what it seems like to me. Like, everybody, it went from being, you know, we're all in this together to everybody for themselves. But it also seemed like the system was set up for it to be like that. You know what I mean? Like, okay, prime example, say you have a Caucasian man who gets promoted in a company to a position where he can hire other people. He's going to hire his friends and, you know, we talked about this numerous times, but he's going to hire his friends and the people he knows and went to school with and, you know, so forth. But normally, or usually, that I've seen anyway, when a person of minority gets a position where they are to, you know, hire people, it's not as common to have, I mean, to see them extend the same olive branch to, you know, their racial brother and sister, like Caucasian people do.
No, it's
I'm not saying that nobody does it, you know what I'm saying, but, yeah.
Right. Hey, we're going to pause for the calls. Come right back. It's 9:45 here on the East Coast, 6:45 on the West Coast. We're talking about the Negro Baseball League, who is celebrating their 86th anniversary tonight inside Black History Month. We're the network, T.M. Hyman Radio.
What's good, world? This is Sage James, and you tuned in to T.M. Hyman Radio Live.
Racks in. The strippers running to the pole when we back in. All gold, Trinidad, chains on my ass in.
9:49 p.m. here in the East Coast, 10:47 p.m. in beautiful Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. We are that team, that crew, TM Hyman Radio. He is the General TM. I am your girl, Hot Chocolate, Save James, Madam CeeLo Boston. And without further ado, the beautiful Toya with our Money Monday segment.
Thank you, ma'am. This evening, I just wanted to touch on a little few known facts about credit cards. As you guys have probably heard in the past, one of my favorite financial advisors is Dave Ramsey. You can learn a lot of information from his site, DaveRamsey.com. He does offer Financial Peace University, and a lot of churches right now, well, not right now, it's actually been going on for a few years. So if your church offers that program, it is a good step in starting to get rid of the debt in your life. But a few credit card crumbs that he has listed on his site I wanted to share with you. First being, the total American consumer debt is more than $2.7 trillion at this time. The average household credit card debt has increased approximately 167% in the past 17 years. There are over 1.3 billion credit cards in circulation in America. The credit card industry mails out over 6 billion credit card offers each year, sending an average of 6 offers a month to each American household. 45% of American cardholders make only the minimum payment on their debt. The average balance per credit card holding household is usually more than $9,300. It normally takes over 13 years to pay off the average credit card balance if you're making only those minimum monthly payments of about 4% at an average interest rate of about 15%. Credit card interest rates are often raised when a cardholder takes out a new loan, such as a mortgage, car loan, or other type of credit account, which a lot of people do not know. Also, a single first offense late payment can immediately raise a cardholder's interest rate as high as 34%. A late payment is defined as anything that posts after a specific time, a more specified time on your actual payment due date. In addition to increasing the cardholder's interest rate, a card issuer can also charge a fee, typically about $29 to $39 for a late payment or over the limit payment. Also, the credit card industry takes in, I believe, about $43 billion per year in additional unexpected fees from the consumer, such as late payments, over the limit, balance transfer fees. Late payment fees alone bring in more than $11 billion a year for credit card companies. And then overall, American households spend over $412 billion in credit card charges each year. So all of these statements and facts about credit cards pretty much tells us that consumers are not very smart when it comes to making decisions with payments, when it comes to making decisions on whether to actually apply and have credit cards in hand, and when it comes to making decisions of using credit over cash. Because our society has made it seem like it's okay to use credit for purchases, everyone seems to do it, and it's kind of the norm nowadays. But if you think back to our grandparents and before them, they didn't really have credit cards in their lives. Everything was pretty much done by cash. It's not too often that you hear about the older generations actually owing banks or owing for cars or owing for things that they bought that they couldn't afford to pay for in cash. So I think that what we need to do is start to make those same decisions that some of our family members did back then. And instead of using credit cards for purchases, if you don't have the money, then you probably don't need to get it at that time. I think people need to start going back to the basics and actually paying by cash, starting to set up budgets. If there's something that you want, you need to start making payments to yourself and setting that money aside, as opposed to getting a credit card thinking that, hey, I have a year of interest-free payments. I can just pay on it and I'll pay it off. And then before you know it, the year rolls around and you're hit with additional fees. So, again, we need to get back to the basics, stop using credit cards for everything, and start using cash. Usually if you use cash, you pay more attention to what you're actually spending because it's coming directly out of your pocket And it's something that you actually have to make a purchase. A lot of people don't pay attention to how much they spend when they're using a credit card because it's not actually directly affecting them at that moment. So, again, just your Monday fact for your money tips. You just want to try to stay away from credit cards and start using cash more. Be a little more responsible with your spending. And if you are in debt, start taking the necessary steps to get out of debt, which means to stop using your credit cards altogether, because you can't get out of debt and pay your credit cards off if you keep using them. And that's all I have for you this Money Monday.
Hey, you heard it live from Delaware tonight. Thank you very much, Toya. Hey, now you got to take the facts and put them to work. Take the facts and put them to work. It's 9:55. We'll be right back.
Now it wouldn't be me if I ain't get a little nasty. They say all I talk about is sex.
How about we just pull over and do it where we at? How about you just lift that skirt up? Ooh, we can be bad. That place that ain't been touched, I'm feeling on it. All that juicy fruit, keep feeling on it, girl. Giddy up, get it up, take me on a ride to ecstasy. You don't wanna bump up and take a nap. You just wanna bump up, bring it right back. Watch me. The usual, I can give you more than the usual. Got your regular, tell you what, let me touch, you gon' feel something unusual. I'm not coming with the usual. Got your regular, tell you what, let me touch, you gon' feel something unusual. I wanna do freaky things you never do. What if we did it while your friends was in the room? Is that too much for ya? Don't you feel bad? Let us see your center. We can make a sex room wherever we go. Take it to the restroom. They ain't got a no-no. Watch me heat it up, beat it up. Ooh, hey. Do you hear me, girl? Watch me heat it up, beat it up. Regular, tell you what, let me touch, you gon' feel something unusual. I'm not coming with the usual. Got your regular, tell you what, let me touch, you gon' feel something unusual.
Restaurant, check. Cinema, check. On the hood, check.
Other car,
countertop,
check.
Balcony,
check.
In the jet,
check.
On the beach,
this, that, other shoe. You know you asked for it. I might just send you some money to get your passport, so you can come to my city. I take you all over and hit you on the balcony, so don't fall over. Send me your picture, baby. You know I never leak it. I know you got certain reasons for someone decent. Why you laughing out loud? I'm serious. Bring your girl if you a little bi curious, please. Please don't story telling the others. I promise you gon' love it. I would never let you down. Feel like I might have perfected all the things that you expect, and you gon' know it when you bring your ass
around.
Know
you're tired of the usual. I can give you more than the usual. Not your regular. Tell you what, let me tell you, gon' feel something places. Look at the many love faces you're making, but can you take it?
Ooh. I thought I was nasty last time. Let go.
Yeah, let go. 917-889-3926. The number to dial, call, weigh in. Sit with us, talk with us, break bread. 9:59, about to be 10 o'clock in 2 seconds. out here in the DMV, wherever I may be, just playing my flag here temporarily. Ah, that's rhymes. I'm a poet. I'm a poet and didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it.
Anyway, we're back. It's the crew. We here, TM Hyman, your boy Sage James, the hot, mature Lady Eloise, Sister Scott, Fruit Basket, Sunday's best wearing, hot chocolate over there.
You're in church.
You in church.
Oh, man.
You got Madam Barbiturate laying in the cut over there. Hope she's back with us. She over there? Wake up. Anyway, anniversary of the Negro League. And I guess what I'm going to ask you guys, like, you know, what is it, what did that integration in the sports really do for the culture? You know what I'm saying? Like, as a whole, it gave life to a whole new element.
Access.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it gave life,
and opportunities, you know, to make large amounts of money and to begin to be exposed to lifestyles that we would have never, you know, been exposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And it wasn't just in that sport, you know, it was across the board after that. Like, once it was able
for sure.
to, like, baseball was like the litmus test. You know, I guess once it, the pH was 7 or above, it was a, you know, it was a, I forgot what the process is called, but it was a good substance or whatever like that. High pH means, you know, pure water or something like that. It can't be too high. But anyway, once they passed that litmus test, it was gold after that. It was green. It was green light
litmus
in mostly
test.
Every other sport.
It's interesting. You say litmus test, right? Because, I mean, really, ultimately, if you think about any sport that African Americans have ever really become a part of, we've always risen to the highest level of that particular
Absolutely.
Sport. You know, be it, again, we're talking about baseball tonight, but be it basketball, be it football, and I'm about to hit y'all with something in a minute, and I was going to hold it, but, you know, I actually weigh in, and I want perspective, and I want people to think about what I'm about to share, but baseball, basketball, football, golf, can y'all name some other sports? Tennis.
Tennis?
Yeah.
What else?
Track and field.
Track and field.
Okay. We've always been fast, right? So what else?
Hockey, because we're coming
boxing.
Up. Boxing.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to say boxing. I don't think of African Americans when I hear soccer. Not one African American
really?
Face pops to my mind. No, not because I don't know that sport. I don't really know the sport, so I'm just saying I don't know any African Americans who have risen to a cereal box or a commercial that repeats every day.
Oh, the Freddie Adu cat came close. Freddie Adu.
And Pele back in the day.
Yeah, he came close. He was doing the stage. Freddie Adu.
Cool.
He's playing for the DC. DC United out here, like 16-year-old phenom. Google him, Freddie Adu. He was a dude.
Freddie Adu. I have to Google him. No. I mean, but my whole point for bringing it up, go back to the sport that Hot Chocolate just mentioned. I actually had an opportunity to go see another hockey game about a week and a half ago. Down at the Forum, and I loved it because hockey's aggressive, and so I love being in the arena. I love to see them slam, beat each other upside the head. But what I noticed that was glaring is specifically here with the Lightning in Tampa Bay, there was not one African American on the entire. I don't know what the size of the ice rink is. But not one African American on the ice rink. And the question I asked myself, I'm telling you, the entire time, from the time the team started to the time the team ended, my question was, why did the Lightning not have at least one African-American? And what came to me is we're not really ice skaters. But if
True.
We were exposed, if we were exposed to ice skating, we would probably dominate the game because we may not be able to ice skate, but we can fight. And if we learned how to ice skate, it would give us enough discipline to control the fight, but it would also create access and provide more opportunities to, again, anything that we put our mind to, we typically dominate. But I'm going to tell you how the idea came to me. It came to me specifically because I'm mentoring a specific group of young men. And these dudes have a lot of aggression, and they have a lot of energy, and they're smart. And I'm sure if you even talked about ice skating with any of them, they would probably laugh. But if you talk about an introduction or exposure to hockey and they see the game, understand the game, because most will never and have never gone to a hockey game, right?
Uh-huh.
We would probably be introducing something that could possibly end up being a career choice or at least a hobby in a worst-case scenario for a group that, again, lacks the exposure. See, this is what I believe. I believe that if you are exposed to things, it helps you to grow, but it also builds your character and it helps you to dream. You can't ever want something that you don't know about. You cannot know it if you don't even know it exists. And hopefully that was correctly spoken. But, and I think I used a couple of double negatives, but I'm just saying, you really can't know that you're missing something if you didn't even know it was there.
That's true.
That is a true statement.
Hockey, ice skating, black kids. Can you imagine it? Whoa.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I'd be scared. But, I mean, I guess you could say the same. That's probably why we don't have any soccer stars, because soccer's not in the hood.
We're not
the only people
exposed
that play
soccer.
You know what I'm saying? The only people that play soccer
not
is the Puerto Ricans or, like, whatever, you know, whoever else, whatever, Spanish, Latino culture, because that's big in Latino culture. That's their sport, their staple sport. You know what I'm saying? And mainly any other culture in the world except for America, soccer is, like, their home sport. Think about it. You know, maybe
no,
hockey,
I thought about it.
That's what I'm saying. Hockey may be Canada's home sport, but it's like, you know, those are two out of the many nations in the world who have a sport that they celebrate as their staple. You understand? And it's probably in America and Canada, probably the only two that don't have soccer as their home sport.
Listen,
you look like
I just told
kids
to say, a kid came into my office today with his mother, you know, looking for a mentor. And he is, per the mother's, you know, proclamation, the kid is good in soccer. And this kid, that's all he talked about was soccer. He wants to be a banker. And when I asked him to elaborate on banking, he wants to be on the back end side of management in soccer. I asked him, well, what's his B plan if he can't be a banker and you know, work in the back offices of management in the soccer industry? He said, I want to be a soccer coach. This kid gets it, and he's 17 years old and 11th grade about to graduate. See, he could be the next soccer star, and clearly he's been exposed to it. Hey, we'll be back. We're talking about the Negro Baseball League tonight, and I know you haven't heard a lot about it, but it's Black History Month, so we're just going to talk about a whole bunch of everything that's black. We'll be back.
Clap for a nigga with his rapping ass. Blow a stack for your niggas with your trapping ass. Clap for a nigga with his rapping ass. Blow a stack for your niggas with your trapping ass. Time for Time for coming up, coming down. Ride clean, fix your hair in my crown. Bad bitch, H-Town. Keep it trill, y'all know y'all can fuck around. Paris, where we been? Part my Parisian. It's whole time, then no time. It's fuck all y'all season. Piss Bordeaux and Burgundies. Flush out a Riesling. When hoes out, them hoes out. Y'all put y'all weeds in and clap for a nigga with his rapping ass. Blow a sack for your niggas with your trapping ass. Spent all my euros on tuxes and weird clothes. I party with weirdos. Yeah ho, yeah ho. Don't pop Molly, I rock Concord. International, bring back the Concord. Numbers don't lie, check the scoreboard. Time for. Soundboy Berrio, this my Wayne Perry flow. Don't know nothing about Wayne Perry though. District of Columbia, guns on your tumblers. Fuck hashtags and retweets, nigga. 140 characters in these streets, nigga. Pardon my laughing, y'all only flagging on beats, nigga. Pardon my laughing, I happen to think you sweet. I don't pop Molly, I rock Concord. International, bring back the Concord. Numbers don't lie, check the scoreboard. Time for. Coming up, coming down. Ride clean, put your hair in my crown. Bad bitch. H-Town. Keep it trill, y'all know y'all can fuck around. Coming up, coming down. Ride clean, put your hair in my crown. Bad bitch. H-Town. Keep it trill, y'all know y'all can fuck around. Hold up.
What's up, world? This is your girl, HC, a.k.a. Hot Chocolate, and you are tuned into TM Hymen Radio.
Yeah.
TM Hyman Radio. We are back Money Monday. Your girl, Hot Chocolate. TM Hyman, the general himself, Save James, Madam CeeLo Boston. And it is, again, Money Monday. And our topic tonight is actually on Negro baseball as a part of Black History Month. Again, we celebrate Black History Month 365 around here on TM Hyman Radio. But being that it is Black History Month officially on the calendar, we're going to give you a little bit of insight and finish talking about some of the key players that were recognized in the Negro League, or what was it again? The baseballists, is that what they were called back then?
Baseballists, yeah. The Southern colored, you can't forget colored baseballists.
Colored baseballists, right. And I want to touch on one of the legends, Satchel Paige. I'm on the official Satchel Paige website where it indicates, at the table with Robert Paige were his siblings, Sister Lula, Rita, Caroline, and Pam are all present. His little brother Warren is at the table as well, throwing his nephew Michael, Robert Paige, and his father Satchel's present future at his side. They're sitting talking about the patriarch's 100th birthday that was celebrated back on July 10th of 2006. So just think about all of the greatness that was one of the premier Negro League players back 100 years ago, 2006. So that would make him this year 108, he would have been.
Wow.
Yeah. Until around the time 42 came out, I still didn't get a chance to see the movie, but that would have been the point where my interest was most piqued about the Negro Leagues. Unfortunate as it may be, because I deem myself a sports lover in general, and I feel like I really should have known more about that part of my culture before then. So, you know, I am a little bit ashamed to say that, but I do want to give myself a pat on the back for trying to do just a little bit more research and learn as much as I could, or as much as I can now at this point, to educate myself on that part of it. And I think everybody should, not even just, you know, people in our culture. If you call yourself a sports fan of any sort, especially a baseball fan, you have to know about the Negro Leagues. You have to.
Right.
True story.
Absolutely. You cannot, you know, forget, again, folks like James Cool Papa Bell, who really was identified as one of the smoothest, or the smoothest and most skillful outfielder to ever play. They also cite, you know, people like Josh Gibson, you know, who averaged, you know, like, you know, .362, you know, over his 16-year career as best offensive threat, you know, of all times, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, you had a whole lot of renowned players, including those like Satchel Paige, you know, who was widely recognized. Satchel Paige, the greatest pitcher, you know, of the Negro Leagues, period. And then you go on, folks like Jackie Robinson came later. I know we give Jackie Robinson a lot of credit, you know, out the gate. But there were people that came along before Jackie Robinson but never got the type of recognition that Jackie Robinson got.
Absolutely.
I mean, for what it's worth, Willie Mays and Hank Aaron was in the Negro Leagues before they went to the majors. And
absolutely.
You see where they are in baseball history. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah,
I had an opportunity to meet Hank Aaron on a couple of occasions. I happened to know Tim and Daphne Reed, who Tim Reed was a NSU alumni, and so I've had the pleasure of working with him on a couple of Tim Reed celebrity golf tournaments, and, you know, met folks like Will Smith and Jada and Hank Aaron, along with many, many others. And so it was amazing to meet Hank Aaron because I played baseball as a kid. I was kind of infatuated with baseball a little bit. So to meet Hank Aaron was like meeting Babe Ruth, you know. And so when somebody says, you know, was Babe Ruth black or white, I'm sorry. I have a stupid upside-down look on my face. I'm like, I thought everybody knew Babe Ruth and his persuasion and his perspective. Nevertheless, we appreciate and celebrate, you know, the great men of that particular day, February 3rd, that particular era, 1920, 86 years later, you know, for helping to pave the way.
Yes, definitely. Few more facts about Satchel Paige. He was elected into the Hall of Fame in 1971. He was over 40 years old the entire time that he played in the majors. Let's see, he holds the record for being the oldest rookie in the majors. He ended his six-year major league career with a 28-31 record and a 3.29 ERA major. Joe DiMaggio, called him the best and fastest pitcher that he'd ever faced. He did make special appearances in 1965, pitching three innings for the Kansas City Athletics. There's a wealth of knowledge that can be found about these players, and I could probably go on about Satchel Paige for the last 37 minutes that we have of the show, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to hit you with a couple of facts there, too.
All right, and we're going to pause for the calls. Come right back. Inside Money Monday, Jamie Foxx.
Can I save you from you? Cause you know there's something missing in the champagne you've been sipping. I suppose I make you different all the time. It's starting to feel like the wrong thing to do, girl. Cause with all that recognition, it gets hard for you to listen to the things that I'ma say to make you mine. But live, girl, have some fun, girl, we'll be fine. Trying to convince myself I found one. Making the mistake I never learned from. I swear I always fall for your time, yeah. For your time, tell me. There's a reason for it all. You'll say that you're nothing like the last girl. I just pray that you don't let me down right now. It's too late, I'm already yours. You just gotta promise me hearts won't break and end up like before. I swear I always tell me.
Hanging off your shoulder, barely sober. Telling me how you moving away and starting over. Girl, quit playing, you just drunk, you just saying shit. And oh, you dance like how, like ballet and shit. Oh, wait. No, I get it, girl, I'm with it. I've been down this road before and yeah, I skid it. But forget it, damn, damn. I wonder why I never learned my lesson. It's feeling like your second chance and it's the first impression. And I heard there's nothing new except for someone new. But how you supposed to find the one with anyone who come with you? Talking to myself but I never listen. Cause man, it's been a while and I swear that this one's different. That's why I'ma take you anywhere you wanna go. Let you meet my friends so they can lecture me again about how reckless I have been. And I'm slowly running out of all the time that I invested making all the same mistakes. And I'm just trying to correct it and I fall.
TM Hyman Radio Live. We are back. It is Money Monday, 10:28 p.m. here on the West Coast, 6:28 p.m. on the East Coast. Madam Boston says everybody in the middle figure it out. I am your girl, Hot Chocolate, TM Hyman, the General. Madam CeeLo Boston is out there traveling in the world trying to get to her next destination. And now we have our boy, Save James, with his adult topic of the evening.
Yeah, slap, slap, Kate. Damn you.
Kate slap.
Yes. Yeah, man, what's happening, man? I'm just gonna keep it along the lines of this, the Negro League commemoration theme and everything. I want to bring a certain team to light that probably was a forgotten entity as a whole. It was a team called the Belleville Grays. It formed in the 1920s, you know, back in the formative years. And it was part of the actual, I guess, you could say the walk of life that I practiced with Judaism. It, you know, we the oldest practice. Now, that's another thing black people, you know what I'm saying, the African-American community doesn't know about themselves, that there's a form of Judaism that's been practiced by African-Americans, you know, as one of the establishing followings in the country back in the late 1800s. So, you know, do your history on that. But they also had a baseball team called the Belleville Grays. It was out of, like, in the Tidewater area in Suffolk, Virginia. And just want to shine some light on that, you know, let people know that there was more teams out there than that's recorded or given credit for or whatever. And I had a gentleman on there by the name of Albert Haywood, who later on went to go play for the, I want to say the Brooklyn Dodgers, but I don't get me lying to you. And it was one of the leagues that dealt with them. But he met one of the future Hall of Famer, Buck Leonard, on one of the teams that he was traveling for in Portsmouth, and you know, and the one in Belleville. So just want to shine a little light on that, and just let people know that there's more out there. You know, still waters run deep when it comes to that. And I just want to throw that out there. But I want to talk about this Super Bowl still. Anybody ever seen Peyton Manning look that skittish out there?
No.
No, I want to change gears a little bit. Well, you know, I want to, you know, shout out Belleville Grays, but I still had something on my chest about the Super Bowl a little bit. And about the commercials also. So I'll get to that in a second. The way the Seahawks put the press on all of their receivers, I mean, they was laying Woodrow Wilson out there, B. They had those boys scared. First play of the game, snap over the head. They had those boys shook out there. I've never seen Peyton look like that again in my life, and I think it all came from Russell Wilson's hair. You've seen how thick and how the lock started. And his hair started curling over more. Yeah, the curls became like Funyuns. in his hair.
Did you say it came from Russell Wilson's hair?
I'm telling you, the strength is in his hair. He has those onions up there.
Oh, my God.
And the thicker the wax got, the better they played, yo. He has to cut his hair. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You sit, check the interviews.
Didn't Mama Chocolate already tell you it was due to the freaking flyover?
It was the day it was the jet flyover,
nah,
and Peyton thought that they were under a terrorist attack.
Nah, man, the strength is in his head, man. He's trying to tell
his
you.
Strength is in his head.
The strength is in his head. He's a Nazarite.
I'm done for the whole night.
Tell you, that's
not even
Nazarite.
The defense was back again. Not even
I'll
the offense was back
I'll say this.
Hair.
I mean, you're talking about the hair, but, I mean, we talked about introducing some facts about Russell Wilson, who's the quarterback of the Seahawks, and what many, many may not know, in high school, this dude played baseball, basketball,
baseball
and football.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lansdowne High School.
I mean, he actually threw for in his senior year, he threw 3,900 yards, 34 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. His senior year, his performance is excellent. He is a champion, and he's been playing like a champion for quite some time. The kid is pretty good. I mean, he killed on the football field. Based on what I said, but he killed on the football field and was a star in baseball.
That's what I'm
That's
about to
right.
say. He was supposed to play professional. He got drafted, I want to say, by the Rangers. Did he get drafted by the Rangers? Somebody like that? Some team out in Texas?
No, he was drafted by the Baltimore Orioles in 2007.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. He already had a life in baseball, you know, so that just goes to show you, you know, the level of talent this kid possesses.
And I want
to
know who got mad.
During that draft, he actually opted to enter into North Carolina State and pursue his education instead. Then he went on to continue to shine in baseball and basketball after, but he didn't even go. When he was drafted by the Orioles, he went to college.
Yeah. Then he ended
up
going to Wisconsin after that, right? Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, Doc. I didn't mean to cut you off. But I just wanted to get that fact out there.
No, I just want to say who got mad at the fact that someone dubbed him a manager of his team on the field. Like, that's nowhere near an insult. If anything, that's one of the highest compliments that he could be paid.
Right.
Because he definitely did manage that team extremely well yesterday. He got every play called and executed the way that it should be. Like, there were very, very few mistakes that were made on that field by Seahawks last night. Very few.
They were absolutely, if you want to be technical, they didn't make any mistakes. There was no sacks and no turnovers by the offense the whole night from Seahawks. Played a flawless game. If you want to be technical by the letter of the law of the term, they played a flawless game on offense. You know, and you can't just gloss over that.
Amazing.
That's what I'm saying. They was laid, yo. They had those dudes scared over there. They had them scared. They had them scared. They had their heart. The game was won mentally before they even laid a hand on them. First play of the game showed that. I mean, it showed it. How are you that scared of these dudes? You snap the ball over the head when Peyton is doing what he normally does all the time. Come to the line and make checks, change plays. Adjust blocking and all that good stuff like that. He just was scared. He was scared to death. They never faced no defense like that.
Yeah, they had him totally and completely shook up. I've never seen Peyton outside of his normal, cool, calm, winning, you know, problem-solving demeanor like the way he was last night. I've never seen
shook
him like
daddy.
That. Even in a bad situation, I've never seen him like that.
Shook daddy. He didn't even show up. I mean, but, like, again, you can't – I'm not going to put all the blame on Peyton, but he's going to share a majority of it because his teammates didn't show up either. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I give credit to the Seahawks for taking advantage of it. And like you were saying about Russell Wilson, about how he was, you know, managing the game, whatever. You can say what you want, but he made every big throw that was necessary to be made on big third downs. He needed completions here. He made every play that was necessary. So, I mean, call manager if you want, but, I mean, hey, he limits mistakes.
That's leadership, man. That's leadership.
That's what I'm saying. You step up when it's your time to step up. Everybody else play their part, and I'm going to do mine too. You know, I'll lead by example. And that's all it is. That's all it is.
Hey,
So
all of those people who doubted that young man saying that he didn't have enough experience against Peyton Manning, he was only in his second year. Leading that team.
And yeah, I said he was too short. Crazy, he was born with a Napoleon complex. All short people have.
He said he was too short.
5'8 is short for NFL standards of a quarterback. Your typical NFL quarterback is 6'2", 6'3", and taller. That's typical. That's prototypical size. No less than say. They say Drew Brees is too short. He's 6 feet. Anybody, I'm telling you, 6'2", 6'3 is a prototypical NFL quarterback size. Anybody that size and taller, you're shooing. You're going to get in the draft one way or the other. Promise you.
Hey, another fact about Russell Wilson, he actually made his Major League Baseball debut in 2010 with the Colorado Rookies.
The Colorado Rockies.
He played 32 games that year, but after 2 years, resigned and actually joined the NFL. This dude is bad to the bone. Hey, we're going to pause for the calls. We'll be right back inside TM Hyman Radio and with a network. Man, this dude is...
Come on, let's toast the champagne. This one's for the life. Did everything you could just to be here for the night. Man, it feels good. Everything is right. Energy is strong enough to fight and see the light. My whole team winning. No vision, no quit. I'd rather say I did than let them buzzers say I did. Let them talk about it, man. I'm already living. I risk my life to try every day to go and get it.
Came from the bottom. No one said it would be fair. Now I'm on this money, lounging like it's a beach chair. Papa don't preach, all we do is just reach here. Raise round, we just happy to be here. Spot them, got them, let your soul pay your dues. While my doing magic, voodoo, Moulin Rouge. That's a tactic that they use. Them high, then suck them dry. Before you know it, her Q7 is buzzing by. The queen pin to the kingpin redeems him. The boat comes, the drums, my team wins. Yeah, this the life that we make. In the dark like a sweet
come on,
serenade.
Let's toast the champagne. This one's for the life. Did everything you could just to be here for the night. Man, it feels good. Everything is right. Energy is strong enough to fight and see the light. My whole team winning. No vision, no quit. I'd rather say I did than let them buzzers say I did. Let them talk about.
Supreme ballers, all my got SBs, triple doubles, both wrist and neck freeze, triple doubles, two and tech squeeze, triple doubles, two and check please, woo, they love me on my Ric Flair, woo, in that phantom like I'm Blair Witch, woo, who are you to be compared with, woo, ain't no that you bled with. Caught cases, ran base and rolled aces. Licked shots or left bodies with no traces. Yeah, this the life that we make. In the dark like a sweet
come
serenade.
Come on, let's toast the champagne. This one's for the life. Did everything you could just to be here for the night. Man, it feels good. Everything is right. Energy is strong enough to fight and see the light. My whole team winning. No vision, no quit. I'd rather say I did than let talk about it, man. I'm already living. I risk my life to try every day to go and get it.
Look, my Ouija board don't ever lie to me. The best rapper living, I know who's alive to me. Yeah, the competition's all but died to me. Rah! I make these f***ers hide from me. This Sergio Tashini like we uphold. You just posing for them pics so you can upload. Yeah, this the life that we made. In the dark like a sweet
come on,
serenade.
Let's toast the champagne.
This one's for the life. Did everything you could just to be here for the night. Man, it feels good. Everything is right. Energy is strong enough to fight into the light. My whole team winning. No vision or quit. I'd rather say I did than let them buzzers say I didn't. Let them talk about it, man. I'm already living. I risk my life to try every day to go and get it.
Money Monday, your hip-hop informer, that dude T.M. Hyman, coming to you live from Tampa, Florida tonight. Madam CeeLo Boston, Hot Chocolate, Say James, Toya, Didi,
yes.
It's the network. Jump on it, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. It's February 3rd. We are celebrating the 86th anniversary of the Negro Baseball League, also known as the Southern League of Colored Baseball.
Yes, sir.
Is what they used to call them. A Happy Black History Month. That's what we do. That was Pusha T, Chris Brown, Sweet Serenade.
Sweet Serenade.
Hey, yeah. We got to get Pusha T, Pharrell, Chad, that whole crew. We got to get them on the show. We'll figure it out.
No matter.
We got to do that. Hey, congratulations, Pharrell Williams, Producer of the Year. Per the Grammy Awards.
Right.
But that's what they say.
And most
that's
popular hat to date.
Hey, listen. I posted something earlier, if you all did not see. I posted something. I was watching something earlier, a national platform, and they was talking about Pharrell's hat. And what a fashion stylist, I'm not even going to even say her name, but a fashion stylist made the statement that Pharrell had a $10 hat on a $5 head. I really didn't know how to take that. I didn't know how to take that, right? So I kept listening. So I'm like, wow, I don't think that was really what you meant to say. Maybe you didn't mean it that way, but a $10 hat on a $5 head. What I'm saying to myself is you really don't know who he is. I'm thinking
she don't know who he is, and she don't know she didn't do her research. Because first of all, that hat was a Vivian Westwood hat.
But I'm not even focused on the hat. I don't promote the hat at all because it was an ugly hat. But I don't even want to talk about it.
It was ugly, but it cost like $4,000.
He went on to say that Pharrell Williams was a good-looking boy. A good-looking boy, Sabe. Now, I'm thinking to myself, okay, now you have a boy with a $10 hat on his $5 head. You really don't know who he is. He's not a boy. He's a 40-year-old Grammy Award-winning producer artist. Are you serious? So this is what I posted. Was this good-looking boy statement, was that a compliment because he does have a baby face, or was that just totally disrespectful? And I haven't gone back to look at all of the comments, but people have commented, but I haven't had a chance today to go back and even look at Facebook. So I'm thinking she just really didn't know who he was.
Now, this is just somebody that you know? Because I might have
missed
that part.
She's a fashion stylist on a national show.
Absolutely. A fashion stylist on a national show that I was watching.
I don't know. I mean, it could be taken as a shot. Or it just could be taken as ignorance of his existence, you know.
I took it as she really didn't know who he was. She knew he was someone
right.
who was on the Grammys, but she really didn't know. She didn't know who he was.
She couldn't have it with that response. She couldn't have.
And so
then she did.
Anyway,
then she did. That says a lot.
I don't want to make too much of a big deal about it, but you know,
right.
Like the song, giving them kudos. But again, just interesting because words matter. What people say tells you what they're thinking, and when you're not clear about what someone's thinking, it just leaves you to wonder, what were you thinking? And you know, I just had one of those aha, you know, what were you thinking? What do you all think type of deal. Again, thanks for rocking with everybody. If you've just joined us, you're late. Go back and listen to the podcast once we get off the air. You can check us out. Hey, we are very close, if not already, at, you know, 600 or more podcasts. And, man, you can pick one, choose one. Check us out. You know, podcast us. 80,000 listeners, 81,000, if not. By now, woo, listeners, and we don't take it for granted. We appreciate you. Team Hammer Radio Live with a network, baby. Black History Month.
81 grand.
Can you all think of someone that no one knows anything about? Because there's so many different inventors and people that has never gotten any credit. But can you all identify or think of at least one person that we don't know anything about, never heard of the person?
I mean, I can't think of anyone that you don't know, but to my ladies, someone that you should know is Madam C.J. Walker, who invented the straightening comb and the hot comb, and I thank her. She has really, really brought us a long way. And even if you're natural and you choose not to put any chemicals in your hair, the hot comb or the flat iron or whatever you want to dub it this year or this time of the, you know, our generation is definitely a blessing. So thank you, Madam C.J. Walker.
No doubt. She's been a blessing to a whole lot of
folks. To a nation.
To the yes, and not just African American women. So you know that crosses a barrier right there in itself.
Yeah. Now I ask because I had actually pulled up a few people that I don't think a whole bunch of people know anything about. And so when I was digging for unknown African American heroes, the Healy family of Georgia actually came up as a family. There was James Austin Healy, Patrick Francis Healy, Michael Austin Healy, the Healy family. Now, they're being referred to as unknown African-American heroes, but they really didn't look that way, in my opinion. Now, they were apparently or supposedly the first African-American Roman Catholic, you know, family. And
wow,
this was probably back in the area in the era of like 1849, around 1849, 1850. Now, James Austin Healy, his lifespan was from 1830 to 1900. But supposedly he oversaw the establishment of 60 new churches, 68 missions, and 18 convents along with 18 schools. He was the overseer in that particular period of a multitude of religious institutions. Again, I'm talking about James Augustine Healy, Healy being spelled H-E-A-L-Y, James Augustine Healy. We're talking about people that you really don't know anything about, but they laid the foundation of African American history in this country. And we got a few more minutes left, so we're gonna pause for the cause once more. Come right back, and we will keep going. 917-889-3126. Hey, can somebody also find or do some research on somebody that we may not know? Or that the
I got you right here in the pocket. I got you right here in the pocket.
Okay. Hey, well, you know what? Go for it, say shit.
July 12th, 1949. God bless this man, Frederick M. Jones, for creating the air conditioning unit. Lord
yes,
knows
sir.
We would be without that.
Lord
knows.
Hey, we'd be okay. In trouble.
Trouble.
Thank you.
Big trouble.
All the work that Madam C.J. Walker did would have been sweat out.
Would have been in vain.
We'll be back, everybody.
I'm counting down the seconds for you some more time. Cup and wrap your gear, fatty, I'll be your prize. You my full attention, cause you've been on my mind. Put me in your favorite color, baby, tonight you decide. I want you again and again while the radio drowns up the sound from the love that we're making. Feels so amazing, your chest is where my head will be laying. I wanna see feeling from your kisses. I want you to see feeling. I hope you're ready. Tonight I'll be feeling every minute. I'm gonna be feeling. I'm letting go. Come and get it. You're taking me to the point of no return. Follow my instructions. Listen to every word. Reach out to me, boy. Don't be scared to let go. Remote control me, and I'll put on show. Sure you can give me more than I can handle. Keep it right there, don't change the channel. I want you again.
This is a recording. It's 10:53 out here on the East Coast. It's about what? Is it 3 hour difference in Denver? 7:54 out there.
Yep.
They're still hanging their head low. Their tails tucked. They got that ass spanked on national TV. They done stole something. Beat that ass. Oh, yeah. I got your ass sweat. Oh, yeah.
Hey, stop it, man. I was riding with them. Get out of here, man.
Hey, well, too bad.
Hope you didn't bet no money.
Word is box.
Hope
you
didn't bet no
like
money.
That. You got to look them in the face or you pay them.
Did you notice he's quiet on that?
No, now you're quiet. See, that's what happens. You're quiet. Ha! Listen, they forgot I was actually driving tonight. 917-889-3926. If anybody is in Denver and you want to, you know, chime in, mad love for you right now. I'm a hater, and I shut it down, but I got too much love for him, so I'm going to open the mic.
Yo,
he's
horrible.
Me too. Such a sore loser.
Like, what are you doing? Oh, man.
I got love for my Denver people, too, but they got spanked. It's really...
Why?
Dumb.
I mean, what you want me to do? I'm not
way
making...
around. That,
look.
Yes.
You can't make excuses for it. They got... Yo, there's a song that was on Onyx's first tape, the Back the F Up. It was an instrument for about, like, 30 seconds. And it was like, I'ma bust that ass, I'ma bust that ass, I'ma bust that ass, I'ma bust. They was playing that joint in the locker room before they went on the field. I promise you.
They had to. They had
that's
to.
That's what they did that whole night. Bust that
it's
ass,
okay,
son.
It's okay, TM. Think about how I feel as a Cowboy fan.
Son, he muted me.
He did. Me too. Don't feel
I'm
that.
Tight. Yo, he muted us, V. I'm tight at that.
He did. He did. That was a silent protest. And then he whispered it when he said it, too. He whispered it to me.
That's dirty, son.
Crazy.
I got you. So
crazy.
Yo,
so good.
I told the entire world. And they and listen, I was hating for a moment, but then I came to myself.
He did.
And
he
now we hear you again. And now we're here.
Whatever, it's all good. I ain't mad at you. I expect that from people that just lost like that. I would expect that.
typical behavior. That's the typical.
I don't mute y'all mic out on my losing nights on Mondays coming back from a Cowboy loss. I do not mute your mic.
I mean, you should be used to that by now, though, because y'all lose all the time.
I ain't ask you all that. I ain't ask you all that. See, now you're going to
Cowboys
on the same side.
Basura, son.
And the Giants.
Dude's out of here, man.
Wait, and the Giants.
No, hey, at least we can remember in recent memory when we won a Super Bowl. At least we can remember that in recent memory.
And so can we.
It wasn't too long ago. No. You have to be a child of the 90s, 80s, and 90s, and born in the 70s to remember that vividly, son.
I beg to differ.
Not even
born
kids
in the 70s.
Not even kids in the 90s remember the Cowboys winning championships.
That's
kids not born in the 90s don't remember Cowboys winning championships.
That's not true.
Yo.
I thought we were on the same side. I'm no longer on your side. Say, mute his mic, please. Thank you.
Whatever, sir. We mad. If it makes you feel any better, I used to write the Buffalo Bills for a long time. Okay, I mean, is that any consolation?
No.
We're back Wednesday 9 p.m. Take us up out of here, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for rocking, folks.
Who's she mad? Who's she mad at?
In the words of Madam CeeLo Boston, whatever you do, do it well. Save your name. I'm not talking to you right now.
Yeah, man, pull your skirt down, man. Cowboys lose games every other day, man. You be all right, right? You tough.
Whatever. All right.
You be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ain't got nothing to say, man.
If that's your closing line,
that's my parting shot.
He is the General T.M. Hyman. I am your girl, Hot Chocolate, an ever-present and loyal Cowboy fan, win or lose. He is AJ Madam CeeLo Boston, Dee Dee, Toya, Nokia. We will see you back on
Get
Wednesday
Jerry
tonight.
Jones.
Whatever.
Jerry Jones,
must
go. Who you
green floors, all white cars full of red chores. I'm about to take the trash out. MCs is whack, couldn't last the last
just wait.
Walk in the spot, just get your ass out. No titty boy, pump them to the pass out. Then cash out. Hell, we've killer. Do you know how many tracks I done snatched out? Whoa, Kimo Sabe, she look like Taraji. Make me say, oh Lord, like it was Sunday. A house for rent with no credit check. In my mind, I'm thinking we done found another trap. Put the burglar bars up with
T.M. Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. T.M. Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. T.M. Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk radio show.